Good morning, church. It's great to have you on this beautiful Sunday as we celebrate our first Sunday together in 2020. And as you can see, we have a youth Sunday. So our kids have been invited to enjoy worship in the front row in their beanbag chairs as we celebrate this last wonderful Sunday of Christmas. A few other announcements. As this being a youth Sunday, don't forget kids will have snacks and an activity after worship from about 11:30 to about 12:30, quarter to one. Great opportunity for the kids to get out, be active. We'll probably have an indoor activity with all the rain we've had. Dollar chocolate bars are available for our mission trip to Trickleby Cafe. See Nick Manapace after worship if you're interested in any of those. Church Council, please don't forget, 2 weeks away, it'll be immediately following worship on Sunday, January 19th. There'll be a potluck meal to follow. Packets are available, thanks to Carolyn and everybody else who put those together. Our snow makeup date will be Sunday, January 26th. I want to announce that now because last year we did actually need a snow makeup date. So please keep that in your calendars just in case. And then one thing I want to add for your packets, Jackie Pasquinelli has some further financial information that will be coming out. She couldn't quite get it out before she left to go spend some time with some family in Wyoming. So that information is still coming, but most of that information is still in there. Yep. She's got it taken care of. It'll be easy peasy. Our next joint board meeting will be Wednesday, January 22nd at 6:30 with elders to follow. I wanted to make that announcement because normally we do that on the Monday immediately following church council, but we switched that. And the reason we switched that is there's a great community opportunity. New York Times bestselling author Mitch Albom will be at the PAC on Monday, January 20th. A great opportunity to see a great author. Tickets are $25. The event is sponsored by Community Hospice. I encourage you to go if you get the opportunity. It's not too many times we get an author of this caliber right down the road, and you literally have to drive less than a mile to go see him. And very talented. If you've read Tuesdays with Maury, Have a Little Faith, all of his books have been world-renowned and sold millions of copies. So if you get the chance and the opportunity to support Community Hospice, we really encourage you to do that. The mission trip meeting will be this coming Saturday, January 11th at 9:30. It'll be a chance for us to catch up on some of the fundraising, look forward to the future event. We're asking those of you that can make it, if you could bring a $75 down payment for the trip. That would be greatly appreciated. I am not sure, we're not seeing a whole lot of huge expenses after that because of all the fundraising we're doing, and driving to Milwaukee, Wisconsin is a very inexpensive trip. So really, if you're looking for an affordable trip to do, this is the mission trip for you. I really think it is. Also, Monday night, tomorrow night, Bob Evans Fellowship Night and Women's Board will be meeting at 6 p.m. And then Wednesday, we have our Food on the Fly and Trustees to Follow. Does anybody else have any other announcements they'd like to share at this time? Cutting boards are still available for the mission trip. So if you're interested in buying some of those, do you remember what Eric said about some of the other ones coming out?
So I do still have cutting boards available. Right now I have the round ones and the paddle ones in both the Lucky's and the Moravian Seal. I have those down in Ben's office. I shouldn't have time to bring them up today. But they're available. We are looking to get Moravian started set up and get those sooner than Easter. But that is still in the works. So if you would like a jar, feel free to let me know. But the ones that we have right now are the Lucky's one and the Moravian Seal one. I have those down here in the office. You can bring them home with you today.
Thank you very much. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Thank you. standing as we join together in our watchword of the week this week. Our watchword this week comes from the 148th Psalm, verse 13. Let us say it together. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his glory is above earth and heaven. You may be seated.
Stand and join me in the call of worship. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem.
The Almighty granted peace within our borders.
He declared his word to Jacob and his children.
With his love, he redeemed us and became our Savior.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing, Savior of the Nation, Come.
Thank you.
At this time for our liturgy today, we get to a celebration, a great day in the life of the church, because today we get to welcome somebody as officially as a member of our church. This is always a day to rejoice as a congregation. So at this time, I invite Carol Fantine to come up as we welcome her officially as a member of our congregation. I was touched today. Carol brought both her niece and her neighbor to be with her today. She has taken her commitment to be a part of our community very seriously from day one, and we truly are blessed to have her be a part of our church family. So I ask all of you to join us together in our liturgy, in our affirmation of baptism, which begins on page 170. In grace, God called and chose the people of Israel and established with them a covenant. I will be your God and you will be my people. In that relationship, they were to be freed from sin and become a blessing to all. Then God came to us in Jesus Christ and fulfilled that covenant for all people. Through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, God made for us a new covenant of grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted baptism as the visible means of entry into the new covenant. Baptism is a gift of God. In this sacrament, through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are united with Christ, are cleansed by his saving work, enter into the fellowship of the church, and are called to a life of faith and willing obedience. At this time, I address Carol. As you present yourself before God and this congregation, we call upon you to profess your faith. Do you believe in God as your Creator and loving Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your Comforter and Sustainer according to the Holy Scriptures?
I do.
And now we will say the next part together. Lord, make us one with all your children as we profess our faith, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This time I address Carol. Do you in faith turn away from sin, evil, and selfishness in your thoughts, words, and actions? And do you intend to participate actively in Christ's church, serving God all the days of your life?
I do.
And speaking to the congregation now, do you affirm Carol as a member of this congregation and accept your obligation to love and nurture her in Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
And now those of you following along in your hymnal, we continue to our transfer of membership. Carol Fantine, through baptism, page 173, excuse me. Through baptism, profession of faith, and Christian service, you have already entered into the life of church of the Church Universal. And today we rejoice, welcome, and receive you into the fellowship of this congregation. Continue faithfully in the good ways you have chosen in Christ, and may the Holy Spirit bless you in your life among us. May we all, through grace, be enabled to support and encourage one another in Jesus Christ, our Lord. At this time, I invite members of the joint board and anybody who would like to offer the hand of peace to Carol at this moment as we join together in song and celebrate this wonderful moment. time, it is always a joy when we welcome somebody into our church family. And I remember the blessing and benefit that we have here at Shenbrunn is that we are truly a family. We each know one another, we each care for one another, and we each have the opportunity to nurture and really look after each other. And that is a gift that not every church gets to experience. There's a lot of places you shake somebody's hand and you may not know the person sitting next to you. But we truly are blessed with the gift of community. So at this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. We think especially as we get to wrap up our Christmas season, we think about all the gifts that we get to put away and the ornaments that we put away. But we must remember that the compassion of the Christmas season is something that we can never put away, that we should always be looking to God with a full heart on our mind. So let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. Please rise. Together. Dear Savior,
we are grateful for the gift of a new year. Help us to use this year to live compassionately, share love, and breathe hope into our world. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. Let us remember Linda Von Nell as she continues with her cancer treatments and upcoming appointments and chemotherapy that will begin later this month. For Karen, a friend of Jacqueline Knapp's who is awaiting a heart transplant for the last week and a half. For Jim Eichel, who was hospitalized this past week and continues to suffer from serious effects of COPD and all these other effects that come along with that. We think especially the joy that we had this past Tuesday as we welcome Mr. and Mrs. Charles Dalton and their beautiful wedding day, and what a great job Tammy did setting that up. And it was just such a beautiful service, and I see that they're a little under the weather now.
Yeah.
So welcome to marriage. No, we rejoice with them, and hopefully they get healthy. When are they headed back to Kansas? Okay. We pray for them and safe travels as well. It was just really a beautiful day for those two, and we celebrate and rejoice with them. Also continued prayers for our country, our world, that peace abounds in our world, with a lot of anxiety and a lot of uncertainty in our world. May we continue to remember we are all children of God, and peace is always a possibility. And then prayers for a massive car wreck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike I heard about this morning. 5 people were killed, 60 were injured. It was right outside of Pittsburgh, so we continue to pray for all those people and all their families at this time going through a difficult circumstance. And each one of us should celebrate the joy of welcoming in another new year as we enter 2020 and all the possibilities and opportunities that come with another year and another opportunity to serve God. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the breath that we get to breathe every single day. Help each one of us start with that gratitude. Because when we know that we approach this world with a grateful heart, it is easier to see the blessings and the gifts that you bestow upon us each day. So many that we can't even keep track of them all. We are truly blessed to be your children. Gracious God, we are so grateful that as we enter this Christmas season that we have the opportunity to give compassionately. But please be with those who are going through a difficult time. Those who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are struggling with loneliness, depression, or any other source of anxiety or stress or strife in their life. Help them to know that no matter what's going on, they will be supported by a loving God, a compassionate Savior, and disciples of Christ committed to caring for one another, especially in the difficult times and the hard times. We rejoice because this past week we got to celebrate a beautiful wedding in the life of our congregation. We continue to pray for Chuck and Erica, that you continue to bless their marriage and all the wonderful gifts they've been given, and just continue to instill in them how wonderful and amazing they are. They have entered into a marriage covenant that is so beautiful, and we are so blessed to be a part of that and to support them. And please continue to strengthen them and keep them healthy. And at this time, we especially think of our soldiers like Chuck. We think of those who have been currently deployed and those who will be deployed. Please, gracious God, continue to instill the feeling of peace in our world, because we want this whole world to be caring for one another, to be gracious to one another, and that we ask that you continue to supply the peace that this world desperately needs. Because your faith, hope, and love is what we are created to serve, what we are created to give, and most importantly, what we are created to live. So may that faith, hope, and love carry us in all times and all places. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, having believed that you were marked in him with a seal and promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Thank you, Letitia. Our gospel today comes from the first chapter of John, verses 9 to 18. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Excuse me. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your action. Thanks be to God." At this time, I invite the children to stay present where they are, or you can come up forward for our children's chat. So you can bring up, put all your toys in the middle. All right, let's see what we got. So for our youth Sundays, remember, we always invite our kids to bring their toys and objects, and I got to preach my children's lesson based on what you brought. So who here had a good Christmas? Yeah? Was it fun? Did you get to see a lot of friends and get a lot of presents? Did anybody get a present they were really super excited about? What'd you get, Paige? This? All right. Aubrey? Ooh, that's cool. Tyler? Whoa, PS4. I'm coming over to your house. Rylan? That's pretty cool. Nick, what'd you get? Nice. Jacob? Oh, Crocs. Nice. You're finally hitting that old man age where you finally enjoy clothes. That's an important age to finally hit. So what we're going to talk about is cultivating joy. And in order to cultivate joy, you got to be a little silly in your life. You got to be willing to take some risk. So how do you cultivate? What does it mean to cultivate? Does anybody know? Aubrey? Something you do in a garden. What's cultivating doing? It helps you... What, Aubrey? Grow. It helps you grow things. So if you want to grow joy, what does that mean? Rylan?
Be nice to people.
Be be nice to people. You want to be joyful all the time. You want to take care of God all the time. So how do these objects cultivate joy? So Paige, how would this little guy or is it a guy or girl?
It's a girl. It's a girl.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. How would she cultivate joy?
She's a llama.
What'd she do? What'd make her happy? Yeah, probably spitting on a few people, too. That would make her happy. That usually makes the llamas I know happy. And what do we got here? We got a ballerina flamingo?
Yes.
All right, Aubrey. What would make a ballerina flamingo happy? It could do that. It could dance, and it could swim, and that would make that flamingo very happy. And what about, who brought Squirtle? What could Squirtle do that would make him joyful? I actually learned this week that tortoises live to be like 75 to 100 years old, so they get to be a very special part of their family when they're taken care of and they're loved, and they can actually be passed down from generations in their family. And now we got the football section. Oh, so we've got Ohio State, place known for cultivating joy and success, and we've got the Cleveland Browns. And we'll just say the opposite end of the spectrum of cultivating joy. So how could these two guys cultivate joy in their life? Nick?
Entertainment,
and they could use what? What makes a football player happy? Football. And when you're playing football with your friends, what's the best way to be joyful? Nick? Throw it around. What else, Rylan?
Be a good sport.
Aubrey? Share the ball. That's an important thing, because guess what? Games are awesome when everybody's having fun, right? But if it starts to become an argument, if it starts to become a competition about who's scoring more and who's getting the ball, then what happens to the fun game? What does it become? Nick? Annoying game, kind of, almost, yeah. Nobody wants to play it, right? So that's why we have to cultivate joy in our lives. Because what does it mean for you as a kid to cultivate joy? What would that look like, Paige? Playing on your phone. Okay, there's one option. There's other ways to cultivate joy. How would you cultivate joy, Aubrey? What would make you happy? Doing what? Opening presents. Rylan, what would cultivate joy for you?
Spending time with your sister.
There's a good answer. Nick? Time with your friends, time with your family, because guess what? God created you to be joyful and to enjoy life, to enjoy your joys, to enjoy your friends, and to enjoy your family. So I want you to think about this week is ways that you can cultivate joy just for you. Because as a kid, it's important that you're happy and you get to have a lot of fun in your life. So we're going to get in our circle. We're going to say our prayer. We'll put our objects back in the middle. And then you can pick them up when we're all done. So let's get in our circle. I'll take my hat off to be respectful. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and I want to thank you for these kids because they cultivate so much joy in the life of our congregation. Please help each one of them see that they deserve a happy and joyful life and help them to do what they enjoy best in this life, especially when we get together for our game afterward. Help each one of us enjoy each other's company and focus less on winning and more on just enjoying the moment. So please help us be good stewards of the joy we have been given. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab your object and you can head back to your seat. What's that? Oh, yeah, you got the ear warmers. I like that. Mr. Jacob, is that yours? We'll see, it'll be a surprise. At this time, you may remain seated as we join together in song. you for joining together to sing that hymn. I know that's not one of our old favorites or familiars, but if you actually look at the text, it's written in the 4th century by Marcus Aurelius, so going back to the Roman Empire. So it's one of the oldest hymns in our hymnal, and to see how long that text has survived has been very cool. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to each one of us. Inspire each and every one of us to carry your truth into our actions, into our hearts, and into our love. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So we've been given a gift by our lectionary this week. I wish I could have organized it this way, but actually, you remember last week when we drew our watchwords text, and I had to preach on that instantaneous. It was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Well, it just so happened that our lectionary text for the week after happened to be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. So I thought it would be a great opportunity for us to kind of dig into that text that we've been given this year as we hold that watchword in our hearts as a congregation. Because when you look at the Apostle Paul, his writings are often credited or blamed, depending on your theological viewpoint, for something called the concept of human depravity, which is this idea that humans are wretched and awful souls incapable of doing well or good on their own. And that comes from Romans 7:14-15. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, Paul has some similar sounding passages where he doesn't exactly sound like the life coach you'd want to build your self-esteem around. But if we looked at the Apostle Paul and all we saw was doom and gloom, we'd be painting him with a pretty broad brush. Because the passage we have from Ephesians today is a very beautiful passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for children, for adoption, his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us, his beloved. And that is a great passage. But imagine if you heard that, and you were the people of Ephesus, and that was the first thing you ever heard about Jesus, was that passage that Paul had written to the Ephesians. How would it shape your faith? Because when that letter was read aloud for the first time in Ephesus, it would have been a public event. You got to remember, 90%, well over 90% of the population at this time is illiterate. Any letter or source of writing has to be shared publicly. It has to be read in order for it to hit home. And there would have been believers in the midst of non-believers at this event. Those that welcomed Christ in their heart that very day would have started with the idea of this passage, that they are chosen people, a chosen generation. That would be the foundation that they would choose to build upon. Now, it is human nature to love to be chosen. We all love being picked for a team. Are any of you kids, who's on a team right now? Can you tell me a team you're on, Rylan? You were on a baseball team, weren't you, right? Nick, what teams have you been on?
Soccer team.
Soccer team, okay. Paige, what teams have you been on? You were on a soccer team too, weren't you? Aubrey? Soccer? Yeah, it's important. Who likes being on a team? How about adults? Who likes being a part of something? Being a team, being a club, being a church? That's something to be a part of. We all like being on a team. We all like being picked. We all like being invited to something for a special occasion. Accepted to every college we apply to. And the really cool thing about being chosen, the more personal that selection process is, the more meaningful being chosen becomes to us. Because we talked about this last week with the gift of adoption. That is one of the most personal choices you can make in your life. Writer Doug Mendenhall said this about adopting a son in his family. When a two-day-old boy was placed in our arms, he was already full-fledged, our beloved son. We had chosen him because we knew that he needed to be chosen. He needed to be loved. We knew nothing about him. We knew nothing about who he would become. All we knew is that we chose him. And each of you kids should know that at one point or another, your parents decided to choose that you were going to be an important part of your family. Because at one point, your family existed without you, and they decided something was missing. And that kid was you. And that's really cool to think about, that you also were chosen. And we all need that feeling of being picked. We all need to feel cared for. We all need to feel loved. Now, for those of you that have been married or have been in a serious relationship at some point, when was the moment you knew you were committing yourself to your partner? I want you to think back. When was the moment that you had picked them, you had selected them? I want you to think about that. Because what I love about the story is when you ask somebody, when was the moment you knew that that person was meant for you, is those narratives rarely fit that hallmark narrative that we see of all the roses aligning on the perfect moment, and all the doves come, and it's just a beautiful and perfect moment. Rarely do any of us experience that. Because these moments can often take place during an unflattering moment for you or your partner. Perhaps your partner embarrassed themselves in front of your family, and you thought to yourself, wow, my partner really is an idiot, but that's my idiot right there. Who's ever done that? Who's ever? I've been there. There we go, yeah. I got some knowing laughter. And went straight up right away, didn't it? We've all had that. Or perhaps it was you yourself. You embarrassed yourself at a family function or some other opportunity, and you expected your significant other to run out the door as fast as they could after that happened. And you were waiting for it, and that moment never came. I'll give you an example. A week after we were dating, Emily invited me to Thanksgiving with her family's house. And it was a great opportunity to get to know everybody, to get to experience everybody. And she talked about, oh, how her 14 and 15-year-old cousins really love to play football. And they always play football on Thanksgiving. I think that's great. I got in. I know football. I love football. What she didn't tell me is that their family Thanksgiving games are a little more intense than the ones I grew up with. And she also didn't tell me that I would be covering her brother who'd been training for the Marine Corps the last 6 months. So when I got done playing with that nice little backyard football game, I was dripping sweat. I mean, absolutely dripping sweat. And you don't think to bring an extra change of clothes to you to a Thanksgiving affair, do you? So I'm sitting there that whole Thanksgiving dinner like this, trying not to put my armpits up at any point in time, because I know how stinky and sweaty I am. And I keep waiting for the moment where my wife's going to say, I'm just too embarrassed by this dude. You find your own way home. Just do what you got to do. This is done. But it never happened. And I think that for us is an endearing quality, because there's something about us being able to see whether it's a friend or a loved one, and we see them at their absolute worst, and knowing that they still love us, they still care for us, it puts us at ease, and it makes us realize that they are capable of loving us at our absolute best, is when people can have those moments. And they're funny, but they really do have a connecting and powerful impact on us. And we talk about relationships, but what about your personal relationship with Jesus? When did you choose Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Because very few of us have, once again, that hallmark Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus moment where we know in the blink of an eye that we are saved. But we should be able to look at some crucial moments in our life as sparks for the light of Christ within. Because there comes a crossroad in each and every one of our lives. I don't care who you are, we all hit this crossroad where we have to decide about Jesus. Who is Jesus to us? Is he the Savior the one who controls our heart? Is he just a really good friend, a role model to look up to? Is he just somebody you can hang out with, put on the shelf on Christmas and Easter, and bring him down once in a while? Is he somebody you're disgruntled about, that frustrates you, that upsets you? Do you treat him like an enemy? Which of those roles is Jesus going to take in your life, all the way from Savior to enemy? We all have to make that choice. And the important thing is, that does not mean we should feel pressured into having a major religious experience in our lifetime. It just means that we need to know at some point we have to choose Christ to be the compass of our life. We have to know who's in control. Who are we willing to surrender control to? Because if you ask the typical Moravian when they are saved, the day you are saved, we're not going to point you to a specific day on our calendar and say, that was the day I knew that I was saved, in most cases. But we will point to the very first Easter morning, and we will shout with joy, the Lord is risen indeed. Because each one of us know that was the day that salvation was made available to each and every one of us, to each and every one of you. The Lord is risen indeed. Because we do not see our conversion to Christ as a one-time swing or miss event, but we see our conversion as a lifelong journey we take with God. And there's always a time and an opportunity to grow in our relationship with Christ. It's a conversion of solemn and lifelong joy that we get to be part of. Not an experience we need to stress about, but a joyful opportunity in front of us. So Paul calls us to be joyful Christians. So let us take that opportunity to be those people. Because writer Alan Bream said, if we want to see the church thrive, I think we should make cultivating joy a priority in life. If we want to see the church thrive, we should make cultivating joy a priority in life. And I have to be honest with you, I wrote this sermon on Wednesday. And when I heard about the news that was going around in our nation, in our country, in our world, and the unrest and the anxiety that was happening in our world about what the future is going to look like and what the next steps are going to be, I thought about ripping up this sermon and taking a different perspective with this. But you know something? I think it's especially the anxious times, the difficult times, that we have to be conscious about cultivating joy, about making sure that even in difficult spaces, that we can find a way to be joyful people, to be happy people, to share love. Because guess what? We don't always control our circumstances around us, especially with how small our world has gotten. But every single day in our space, in our time, we have the opportunity to cultivate joy for those around us. And think of that, especially as we think about, as we pray for our world and we continue to pray for peace. We can be the joy in our community that we seek to be. But as we think about this quote, if we want to see the church thrive, I think we should make cultivating joy a priority in life. I want you to think about this when you think about your church. Because imagine if when people walked into our church and they asked us, what does Shenron Moravian Church stand for? What do you believe in? What do you care about? And what if we were consistently able to tell people, this church, this place, it's the place where I find so much joy and so much happiness in my walk with God and my walk with others. How quickly do you think our church would grow if people knew that when they walked into our church, that joy was something they would get to experience on a weekly basis? Because Moravians, we forget that joy is one of the greatest evangelical tools that we have. In other words, it's our best way to spread the love of God is by letting people know how much Christ impacts us. Because we're not pamphlet people. We're not people that knock on doorstops or look for ways to do that. But we are people that can show just how much of an impact Jesus makes on us. Because brothers and sisters, let us heed these words of Paul and work at cultivating joy in our personal life and in our church. Because we are the chosen children of God. All of us, every single one of us, have been adopted by Christ. Now that should not swell our heads with pride or make our egos feel big, but it should fill those hearts that we have full of joy. Because I want you to think about, who are the people in your life that you can share joy with? Who are the people that you can touch? Because what's really awesome about Paul's passage is that it's so personal. When you're talking about children, when you're talking about family, those aren't people that you have to seek out and find. They're people right in front of you and right next to you. And you have the opportunity every single day to share joy with them. So think about, what does that look like, and how can I share that joy with them? Because every single day, we have an opportunity to share that mission with God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we think about the joy in our lives and the joy in our heart, please continue to call us to be your people. And no matter how much anxiety exists in our world, help us to look for opportunities to spread love, to spread hope, and to spread joy. Because we know that you need these missionaries as much now as you ever did. So help us be your missionaries and heed your calling in all times, in all places. At this time, amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. Before I share with you the words of the benediction, I want to let you know that our kids are going to be doing the recessional. So after I say the benediction, I'll ask you to be seated and enjoy our kids as they join together and sing, "Let this little light oh my goodness, I'm off today. Let this light shine," and we continue to enjoy their blessing they give us, especially every youth Sunday. Let us hear the words of the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.